Welcome to Bengal Buzz. My name's Ryan Sargent, your host, and we've got a very special guest tonight with us, Mr. Matt Bloxham. Matt, thanks for coming in tonight.
Absolutely, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
So Matt is an ISU Bengal through and through, bleeds orange and black as much as anyone else you'll ever meet, has 2 degrees from Idaho State. What's your undergrad, business?
That's correct. Undergrad's healthcare administration.
Healthcare administration. Then
we do a minor in business through healthcare admin, but then I did stick around and do an MBA at ISU also.
Nice.
It's a perfect fit. It's a one-year transition from undergraduate to graduate degree.
Because they force you to get the business minor with it, right? So you avoid all the going back and doing prerequisites.
Forcing you
for the
sounds really
MBA.
Like authoritarian. They give us the opportunity to get a business minor while we get our bachelor's in healthcare administration. So it works out real good.
Yeah. Then you get the MBA in 1 year and move on from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an awesome opportunity through the MBA, actually, to stay on campus and work as a graduate in assistantship through the College of Business. Have you heard much about Bengal Solutions? I think Dan Cravens is now the director there.
Yeah, we actually had Dan Cravens on this program maybe a year or 18 months ago, right after he started.
Okay. Yeah. So
maybe longer than that. I don't know.
That was a pretty cool opportunity to stick around campus and do that GA through the College of Business, working with – it wasn't Dan at the time. It was Colton Woodbury, but got to meet a lot of folks on campus and work very closely with the dean, Tom Ottaway, who's just fantastic.
Uh-huh. And Bengal Solutions works with private companies and giving them business consulting advice. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. In fact, two of the projects I worked on, being a healthcare undergraduate, I also did quite a bit of coursework in my bachelor's in nursing. So having that healthcare background, they utilized me and a few other graduate students on the bioskills facility that they built in Meridian. And then we also did a project for the Hospice of Eastern Idaho in Idaho Falls. They're working on a hospice home, and they find that project came to fruition much more quickly than we thought. So Idaho Falls has, I believe, still the only hospice home in southeastern Idaho.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of neat.
Yeah, well, it's some of the really innovative things that our College of Business is doing, I think. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But you grew up here in eastern Idaho?
Yep. I'm born and raised eastern Idaho guy from Blackfoot, Idaho. Graduate of Blackfoot High School, not Snake River. Don't confuse Blackfoot with the Snake River kids.
Those are fighting words.
Huh? That's right. It's the only time that I'll actually claim being a Bronco, because the rest of the time I want to be as far away from the word Bronco as possible.
Yeah.
Not a fan of BSU, in case you can pick that up.
You're a green Bronco, not a blue Bronco.
That's correct.
So what brought you to Idaho State? What originally got you to ISU?
My mom and I lived with my mother in Blackfoot, and my dad was here in Pocatello. And so summer times were always spent in Pocatello, and every other weekend was in Pocatello. And ISU, actually, it was their nursing program that drew me in, and being close proximity to the university, just we were aware of what's happening here. And ISU does have a great nursing program. At least they did. I'm pretty sure they still do. I don't follow nursing. I'm not looking to join a nursing program, but that's what pulled me into ISU to begin with. Was I was a CNA in high school and wanted to pursue a bachelor's in nursing, and ISU had a great program.
Okay, so you started off as a nursing major.
Yeah.
And you did probably as much as any student has done at ISU while you were here as an undergraduate. Tell us about that.
Well, when you're here as long as I was, it opens the door to do a lot of things. In fact, the first couple of years getting into nursing school, I was just so hyper-focused on GPA and GPA boosting, trying to get into the program, working on application, got into the nursing program. And that's when I was introduced to ASISU by none other than Ryan Sargent and former ASISU VP Brian Wheat. And so that transitioned me into, hey, there's a lot more going on campus other than going to class and then studying for hours and hours a day. And after transitioning from nursing to healthcare administration, I was a senator here for ASISU for, I think, 1 or 2 years, and then ran for executive office, was student body president on campus for a little while.
Yeah. Two terms.
You know what that life's all about. I didn't write a constitution. Ryan here wrote the current constitution that they use.
You weren't as nerdy as I am. So, yeah, you've established.
I studied it plenty. It took a little bit of took quite a few hours to get around and understand what the heck you were talking about with most of it. But we finally figured it out. And then did the GA and was just – I tried to be as involved as I could while I was on campus, you know, whether it was student organizations. I was a member of Alpha Kappa Psi, the College of Business fraternity that does Idaho Business Leader of the Year, which in fact – is coming up in, I believe it's March this year. I wish I had the exact dates for you.
Yeah. Do you know who it is?
You had to ask.
Oh.
No, I don't know who it is. That's a good topic for your next show.
Yeah,
have somebody
there we
from
go.
Alpha Kappa Psi or the College of Business come talk about Idaho Business Leader of the Year. That was a cool program. Geez, I wish I could remember who it was this year. It's just, I can't.
So. Yeah.
And then obviously graduated after I finished my undergrad, stuck around for that MBA, and then went to do mortgage for a little while with ISU Credit Union. That was an awesome experience. Really great folks over there at ISU Credit Union. And then had an opportunity to do what my real passion was healthcare administration, and did physician practice for a bit. Managed several surgeons, ranging neurosurgery and orthopedic surgery, plastic surgery, reconstructive, pain management, and that was a great group. A lot of learning opportunities there. That was here in Eastern Idaho. And recently, as you're well aware, I had the opportunity to transition over and work for the ISU Foundation now. So I'm in annual giving.
Yeah. You've been in that position for, what, 3 or 4 months now?
Yeah, just since the 1st of December.
Okay.
It's like drinking from a fire hose. There's a lot of information to take in.
Yeah. So what exactly is annual giving for our listeners?
So annual giving, I'm sure most of the listeners, you've probably heard of I Love ISU campaign. That's the biggest annual drive. We call people, and maybe you've been part of a calling team, or maybe you're one of the business leadership partners that we work with. It's a scholarship fundraising campaign to raise scholarships for the I Love ISU scholarship or other scholarships that people donate to for whatever programs on campus. And without that campaign, I think we'd be hurting for scholarships. So I was excited to come and be part of the team working with Callie Valentine and Pauline to drive scholarship initiatives forward.
Yeah, so pretty rewarding work to focus on. I mean, that's the majority of what the annual fund is as well, right? It goes directly back into students. That's what the I Love ISU scholarship, 100% of that goes back to students if you participate in that campaign.
Exactly. And there's a phrase that I really like to use, especially with annual giving, is you're not necessarily giving to ISU, but through ISU. So you have the opportunity to donate via the annual campaign. Or I also run a student call center. Mm-hmm. So if our students give you a call in the evening, please be willing to pull out your credit card and make a donation. They get pretty excited when they get those donations. And then obviously, when we're able to award scholarships, it makes a big impact for a lot of students' lives. But so that donation comes to ISU, but directly through us to help students or improve different programs on campus.
Yeah, very important. So I know that I would not have been able to go to school had it not been because of the generosity of, ISU alumni and friends that had created scholarships and funded scholarships that allowed me to go to school. So I don't think that I'm unique in that either. I think the majority of our students get that kind of help from ISU or from other types of grants that allow them to go to school.
I totally agree with that. The financial hardship is the number one reason why students in Southeast Idaho can't afford or choose not to go to college. So scholarship makes a huge impact.
Yeah. So you skipped over a few things, though, I think. You're maybe a little too modest about what you have done at ISU and also after ISU. But I think you've mingled in politics as well.
I try to. Are we really going to go into politics and directly after the State of the Union address? It's a pretty hot topic. But, yeah, I do enjoy politics. It's a lot of fun. And I work fairly closely with Bannock County Republicans and transitioning jobs. I haven't been able to be as active in the recent past as I would like to be, but
Yeah, but that political spirit that was garnered at ASISU
still
resulted in yourself running for office and helping other folks run for office as well, which
absolutely.
I think is important.
Still exists. In fact, I just stopped by the ASISU office to get some information for our calling team. It's time for ASISU to recruit new candidates, and so I picked up some election packets to take up to our calling team, see if anyone's interested
Try to get them on the Senate, huh?
That's right.
Or president or whatever.
Get their political juices flowing.
Yeah, well, you're the man to do it, I imagine.
I hope so. We'll see.
So, I know that you work here. You've changed careers to be able to work here. What's inspired you to stay connected with Idaho State after graduation?
Truthfully, everyone talks about what their experience was like when they're on campus, and I think a lot of folks try and blame the institution for I don't feel connected to ISU. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's not the case with either of us in this room, but I think the involvement that you have while you're here on campus, if you choose to get involved with, even something so small as going to the Bengal Theater and watching a movie or hanging out with other students on campus or going to support athletic events, those things build your affiliation to the university, and they create an affinity for the university. And so through ASISU, I was able to just build a huge affinity for ISU. And truthfully, I'm thankful for all the opportunities that ISU has given me. They've opened a ton of doors, and the ability to come back, it makes a big difference.
What was your favorite experience as ASISU president?
Well, Ryan, I've told you this before. You give me a hard time about it, but one of the coolest things for me as ASISU president, there's a lot, and I could list tons of them. One of the coolest things was the unveiling of the Bengal bronze statue. That was started the year prior to me with Sean Stokes, and then I had the opportunity to help pull the tarp off and have the press release for the Bengal statue on the quad. That was a really cool experience, and going with Lowell Richards to see the clay mock-up of this just massive tiger in, I believe her name was Melinda, in her garage, a local artist here in Pocatello. That was really cool.
It was actually sculpted by somebody locally.
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And she rolled it out in her driveway, and there was just a huge clay bangle, and people are driving down the road and giving us the strangest looks, but that was a really cool experience. But other than that, one of the coolest experiences for me as a student was I was always invited to the annual homecoming alumni awards dinner. And that was do you still hold that at the Red Lion?
No, it's on campus now.
But is it? Okay.
Yeah, was at the Red Lion except for the last 2 years.
And I love that event. Ryan gives me a hard time. That seems like a strange event that you'd love, especially as a student. But the cool thing about it for me was it was an opportunity to come and meet other Bengals, other alumni who have done incredible things and hear their story. And so that was really inspiring to say, I'm a kid from Eastern Idaho who went to a local university, but the sky's the limit. You can start your own business. You can do anything with the knowledge that you picked up while you were here.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's neat to see not only the award recipients who, usually have pretty impressive careers, but all service-oriented attitudes, whether that's
right.
giving back to Idaho State or other, charities.
Right.
All those people that are recognized have built up their communities, and it really shows what really great people this university produces.
I couldn't agree with that more. In fact, it was probably at the first one that I went to, I was a senator, and I went with the current vice president at the time, Courtney Dickinson. And so the president, Ross Knight, was not able to go. So Courtney said, why don't you come with me and meet these alumni? And I think that's what really instilled in me to begin with, that idea of servant leadership. What is the phrase they say to much, or what is the, how does that phrase go?
Like the Spider-Man phrase?
Yeah.
I don't know. It says,
when much is given, much is required.
Yeah.
And so you see these folks who have built amazing businesses or been very successful financially in their lives, giving back in a tremendous way. I mean, very, very rarely did they highlight their experiences as a businessman or a businesswoman, but the alumni was always recognizing them for the ways that they've given back, whether it's to the institution or their communities or their state. And it was really all about service.
And really, that's one of the ways that we can find real meaning in our lives is by caring about one another and having a cause that, you know, helps other people out.
True.
So you're involved in beyond, you know, the work that you do for ISU and you're volunteering for the institution. You're involved with some charities and some good causes around town. In fact, I think I remember reading that you've recently started a charity.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that if you'd like. In 2016, a friend of mine, Brady Moon, here in Pocatello, and I got to talking about helping individuals who can't afford pet care. So we started a nonprofit called furfam.org, and it's an online-based nonprofit that helps raise money for families who just their pet needs care, whether it's a broken leg or medical treatments of any sort, and they can't afford to get that care. And so our motto through FurFam is that we believe pets are family and people shouldn't have to choose between putting dinner on the table or helping their animal, their dog or cat or bird or whatever it might be, get the care that it needs.
Okay.
It's kind of an interesting process going through the 501c3 process and getting everything all set up. But now our website is built. It's actually under some renovation right now. But if you want, you can check out furfam.org.
Is that the best way to get involved with FurFam?
Yep. You can go to furfam.org and sign up as a volunteer or reach out to us. We have several different ways to get involved. So we have this thing called Pet Connect. If you have an animal that needs help, you can list it on Pet Connect. And if you're a donor who just loves to help animals or help families that can't afford that pet care, they can you can come to the website and identify which animal you'd like to help on the Pet Connect database. And then the other side of that is we work with veterinary clinics. So as we help, we prefer to give money directly to the clinic who is performing the work. Okay. So none of the money raised actually goes to individuals. It goes directly to help the pets.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of interesting.
So it sounds like there's a couple different ways to help out. You can volunteer, donate to help a pet or seek help for your pet by listing it on the website as a pet that needs assistance.
Correct. Yep.
Cool.
And if you work at a veterinary office or if you are a veterinarian, signing up with FurFam to be a FurFam Fur Friend so that people know which clinics, are already working with FurFam and have worked with FurFam in the past. We have a few locally that we're working with, and in 2018 we'll be branching out to Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Utah, and then further into Western Idaho, obviously.
Oh, cool. So where did this passion come from, helping animals and pets?
You know, realistically, it's finding and establishing a need. And so my sister actually had a dog that she's had for years, and she was a young college student, and the dog, I believe it was an ACL, had an ACL tear, and she had no other means to pay for her dog's ACL repair, so she ended up putting it on a credit card, and she'll probably correct me if she listens to this and I'm wrong, but I wouldn't be surprised to find out if she was still paying for that surgery today. And sure. So again, it comes back to those who feel that their pets really are part of their family, who wanted to help provide them with a means to pay for that care rather than putting it on a credit card with 22% interest.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people out there willing to help pets, and connecting them is what we hope to do, which is how we came up with the term Pet Connect, right?
Sure. And you live with a couple of horses right now, right?
Well, they're Great Danes, but yeah. Yeah. You know, anytime we take them for a walk, there's two Great Danes in the house, and we walk up the hill on Center Street, and a lot of folks, "Where's the saddle?" and give us jokes about being small horses. So, And again, so Brady, he found, this is kind of where Brady came up with the concept, was just for vaccination. He rescued these two Great Danes, but for vaccinations and shots that they needed and any medications, and Great Danes, as they especially grow older, often have to have stomach surgeries because I'm pretty sure they could eat anything in the house. In fact, they have. And so all of those surgeries also get expensive, and those are things that a lot of folks don't think about at the beginning of pet ownership. And so while getting a puppy is fun and they're cute, there's a lot of hidden expenses there that if you've never owned a pet before, you may not realize. And that's where FurFam wants to be able to step in and help those families with those unforeseen expenses.
Yeah. So give us that website one more time.
It's furfam.org.
Okay.
And so there's one other nonprofit that I'd like to talk about, and that's the Pocatello Free Clinic. Recently, I joined the Pocatello Free Clinic board. We just hired a new executive director, Christina Potts.
Yeah. ISU alum. I read that.
She's an ISU alum. She's a graduate of the healthcare administration program that I went through. She's also interested in doing her MBA at ISU. That one-year transition makes it incredibly awesome. And so we're really excited to have her on board. And there's a potential. Keep reading the newspaper. I'm sure you'll see the free clinic come up again throughout 2018 as we're going to start a good fundraising campaign through the free clinic and trying to expand services and being able to help more people in Pocatello and eastern Idaho. So.
Yeah, that's great.
That's been a cool board to work with. There's a lot of fantastic people. And
so, yeah, why don't you back up and just tell us a little bit about the free clinic before we what it actually is.
So the free clinic is a nonprofit free clinic for individuals, low-income individuals who need help with medical care. So the other nonprofit I run helps people get pets medical care, and this one I'm on the board for helps human beings get medical care. And so there's a dental clinic, and then we provide other care as well. There's PAs who volunteer their time, plenty of nurses who volunteer their time. If you're a healthcare provider and you want to get involved with the free clinic, please get a hold of us. It's, I want to say, on the 400 or 600 block of Washington here in Pocatello.
Next to Bright Tomorrows, right?
Right.
Aren't they right?
Yeah, right next to each other.
Yeah.
Or you could even shoot me an email. It's blocksmatt@isu.edu, and I can get you in contact with Christina. And we rely heavily on donations and volunteer work to provide medical care. So it's a pretty cool thing. It's, I believe, the oldest free clinic still operating, if not in the country, at least in Idaho.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know it had that kind of history.
But yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, and it's neat to see that it's a real community effort. You know, we got people like you that have the ability to raise money and vision, you know, volunteering time. We've got doctors, dentists, nurses, and whoever else that have the skills to actually provide medical care.
Right.
Donating time and services. And another one of our alumni board members, John Isonides, is involved with that. And I think he's the treasurer, or used to be the treasurer of the free clinic. So it's very cool to see people using their skills to do something that help a lot of folks in our community.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, an ISU faculty member, Alex Bollinger, Dr. Bollinger, is on the free clinic board. And Dr. Roger Bowe, who's been around forever in Pocatello, he's on our board. And a lot of faculty and staff came together, especially out of ISU, to help drive this cause forward.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, very cool. And your community involvement doesn't end there. I know that you're on Pocatello Pride.
Oh, Valley Pride. Yeah.
Or excuse me. Yeah, Port Neuf Valley Pride. I said Pocatello Pride. Port Neuf Valley Pride.
Yep. Beautification committee that, again, is just the community coming together to try and make Pocatello a more beautiful place. We just had our spring retreat, or our annual retreat, in January, and we talked about the Port Neuf River visioning. We'd love to see better access to the Port Neuf River here in Pocatello, and who knows, there may be a fundraising project coming forward with that one as well in 2018.
Some of those drawings are just magnificent.
Pretty awesome, right?
I think what was that, USU or somebody that put together?
Yeah, Utah State. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, it wasn't done here at ISU. We don't have a landscape design program, but so the renderings that they did were fantastic. There's a lot of other models, Steamboat Springs, and then obviously if anyone's been to San Antonio Riverwalk, there's a lot of different visions for what can happen with the Port Neuf River, and some of them are low-hanging fruit, and we can start projects as soon as 2018, 2019, hopefully, and
That's great.
Other projects, you know, may take 100 years to complete, but that's what it's all about, is leaving the Pocatello better for the next generation, right?
Yeah, well, it's such a, you know, I live really close to the river. It's the end of my street, and it goes into Sacagawea Park. And, man, we just love it down there, walking our dogs. And if we could extend that kind of accessibility to the river, I think that'd be wonderful.
Sacagawea is a gem, and not a lot of people know that it even exists, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe I shouldn't have said anything. I like the privacy of having my own little river walk right next to my house.
It's a really cool park. But right off of Gaithy and Craft Road, right? So if you're coming on the North Main extension, like from Home Depot,
you
take a
end.
Right on Craft Road and then left right onto Gaithy, and it comes into like 40 Oakwood, and then it's right down in the park, right on the river with a
when the
green belt.
Yeah, the green belt actually connects and goes much further out to I don't know what that's called. It's called Millward Mile, the other end, with the two fishermen, the big statues.
Oh yeah, right on North Main Extension. That sounds right.
Yeah, it all connects. You can go straight through and have a nice little, you know, 2 mile walk with your dogs or a nice bike ride.
And the sidewalk connects right over to Raymond Park in Old Town.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Play some tennis and go for a walk.
That's right. Just the never-ending possibilities of my neighborhood.
Right.
So, yeah, very cool.
Well, I appreciate you having me on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in and appreciate everything that you do, volunteering time for our community. And we're excited to have you here at ISU, helping out with our annual fund over in the ISU Foundation. I think you'll do a great job. But, Matt, we end every one of these broadcasts with your best Go Bengals. So if you want to take a deep breath, take us out. The only two-term ASISU president.
Well, I end most emails that way.
Best Go Bengals.
All right, Go Bengals!